But at this point, I'd like to make a rather important distinction. A distinction between what I call attainment and what I'd like to call acquisition. Attainment is the result of the gradual extension of our own real being and consciousness, an extension into higher levels and new dimensions. And this, in a sense, is a natural process. But acquisition is quite different. Acquisition I would define as the attempted appropriation of the higher level, of the new dimension, by and for ourselves as we at present are. And this is an unnatural and an unrealistic, because eventually unsuccessful, process. It can't possibly succeed in the long run. Attainment is like the growth, like the gradual unfoldment and flowering of a healthy plant. Eventually, the flower is produced, it comes forth upon the branch. But acquisition is like a plant that has stopped growing. So what do? Because the plant has stopped growing, we tie a flower onto it. A flower that has been stolen from somebody else's garden, from some other plant. Or perhaps it's even a wax or a paper flower that we tie on. So the neurotic craving for higher spiritual experience, and I stress the neurotic craving, not the deep genuine aspiration, the neurotic craving for higher spiritual experience is a form of acquisition. It's an attempt to tie onto the barren branches of our own lives somebody else's flower, even the Buddha's own golden flower, the flower of enlightenment. Attainment is just a matter of growing. Acquisition is a matter of grabbing. It's a sort of smash and grab raid conducted on the absolute. But sometimes things are even worse than that. Sometimes people don't even grab. After all, there's a sort of spirit in grabbing. There's a sort of boldness. You can't help grudgingly admiring the bank robber, for instance, in your weaker moments. But sometimes it's worse than grabbing. Sometimes people don't grab, even. They just expect. They lie back with their mouths, as it were, wide open. They adopt a completely passive attitude. They look upon the experience as something that has to be given to them, that has to be fed to them, something for which they don't have themselves to do anything at all. In fact, some of them, in extreme cases, even resent the idea that they should have to do anything at all. They think that spiritually speaking, even enlightenment-wise, as it were, the universe owes them a living. The universe owes them an experience, even the experience. Well, these are just some of the implications of thinking of enlightenment in terms of experience. And these implications are, in all conscience, serious enough. I must confess I brought them out in a rather extreme, and not to say exaggerated, form. And I've done this for definite reasons. In the first place, so that we can understand quite clearly what those implications are, the implications of that particular way of thinking in terms of experience, and also because the exaggeration could be of practical concern to all of us. All of us, that is, and I think that includes practically everybody present, who turn for guidance to the Eastern spiritual traditions, particularly those who turn to Buddhism. After all, we've all inherited from our own indigenous, Western, Christian, post-Christian cultural tradition a particular way of looking at things, a particular way of looking at religion, a way that very, very often emphasizes feeling and experience. And also, we're all to a greater or lesser extent affected by the modern world in which we live. We are the modern world, to some extent. So that to some extent, all of us are alienated. Practically everybody sitting here, to some extent, is alienated. We are alienated from ourselves, and we're alienated from life. And we're all looking, therefore, for compensations. And therefore, it's clear, it must be clear, that we do approach Buddhism, those of us who do approach it, with very mixed motives indeed. Partly with healthy motives, no doubt, but partly also with unhealthy and unskillful motives. In principle, no doubt, each and every one of us would wish to think in terms of attainment, but only too often we act and behave in terms of acquisition. No doubt we would sincerely wish to grow, but only too often we end up simply trying to grab. So perhaps it would help if quite consciously we even stopped thinking in terms of experience, at least as an experiment for a certain length of time, maybe weeks, months, years. Stopped thinking in terms of experience at all, and started thinking in terms of non-experience. Started thinking even of enlightenment itself as non-experience. We'll see what this means in a minute.